This is F1 Debrief episode 83. I don't know if anyone will remember that. Coming up this week, oh come on, you know what it's about.
What a weekend.
What an amazing race.
Where to begin?
I don't know.
Take me back. Should we just go right back? Should we take it easy?
I'll tell you what, we do have pesky news and good week, bad week and all that stuff.
I think we need to go back in time.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for charity as Coulthard dedicated his last race to Wings for Life, the spinal cord research charity set up by Dietrich Mateschitz. He had a whole new outfit, all white, a new livery, also white with stripes down the side, and a brown front wing.
Brown?
Yeah.
On a Formula One car?
It wasn't pretty.
It's a first.
Webber didn't get to run it. He had the normal livery, but he was probably quite glad because, you know, it was brown.
Yeah, it was a shame that Coulthard didn't get very far into the race.
No.
Not even two corners.
Wasn't that much exposure for the charity, really.
Well, it was pre-race. There was a lot of build-up, and there was a very nice goodbye to Coulthard. However, predictably, Coulthard didn't get that far.
There were a lot of questions about whether he was allowed to run a different livery to Webber.
Yes, yeah, because Formula One cars are supposed to run the same livery, hence... was it BAR who got into trouble and had to run a split livery on each car?
With the zip down the middle.
They wanted a red one and a blue one and they weren't allowed. Although, I believe Barrichello this year ran a different livery to Button because he had the numbers for his...
Oh, for his 257, I think.
Yeah, he broke the record for race starts. It's not completely unusual, certainly not this season. Looked nice, though.
It's been a bad week for Trulli as he had the flu and was excused from all duties on Thursday to rest up. It must have been pretty bad for the doctor to give him a sick note, but then he turned up on Friday and did a really good job, turned up on Saturday, did even better, and he said he felt fine, no problems. So, I mean, does flu really clear up that quickly?
Probably when you throw that much money at it. They've got a lot of expertise in doctors.
Yeah.
They clearly did.
Isn't the Toyota doctor the doctor?
Yeah, he's a pretty good doctor. He was the guy who rushed a Ferrari's aid or something.
I think so.
When one of the mechanics was injured. So very good doctor. Pays dividends in this case.
It's been a good week for Portugal for the second week in a row. Last week they had the news about the test track, and this week Renault turned up to the streets of Lisbon for a demo. Luca de Grassi was behind the wheel, driving up and down the streets and doing a couple of donuts. Afterwards he said, "The public came out in big numbers and I hope that they enjoyed the day as much as I did. Driving on the streets of a city is something very different and very intense because the public is very close to you. It's a special feeling and I had a lot of fun this weekend."
Yeah, I do like their road shows. And Le Bol, in the comments, he went and he put a lot of pictures from the event in Dropia, which was very nice. Occasionally they run these things at the weekends on a race weekend, so you haven't really managed to keep on top of everything, but it was in the week. It was really nice. And didn't David Coulthard do a run somewhere as well?
He had his proper livery on this time and did a demonstration in Brazil because they were there.
Yes.
It's been a bad week for Jacques Villeneuve because he's got competition on the Formula One singing front. Rumours are abound that Lewis Hamilton and his girlfriend Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls are writing songs together. Bless.
Yeah, well, see, apparently he's already penned one number and she's confident it's going to be a success.
Well, I look forward to hearing it.
I wish him luck.
News and views.
Literally just after the last show, Ferrari issued a stark warning about the standard engines. Their statement said, "Whilst reiterating its wholehearted commitment to a substantial and needed reduction in costs in Formula One, starting with propulsion, the Ferrari Board of Directors expressed strong concerns regarding plans to standardise engines, as it felt that such a move would detract from the entire raison of a sport with which Ferrari has been involved continuously since 1950, a raison d'etre based principally on competition and technological development. The Board of Directors expressed the opinion that should these key elements be diminished, it would have to re-evaluate with its partners the viability of continuing its presence in the sport."
That's strong words.
That's a lot of words.
That's a lot of words, and they're strong words.
Yeah.
Coming out against the FIA. And the FIA responded.
Well, they weren't happy about it.
No, as you wouldn't be.
They issued a statement saying, "The FIA has noted the press statement issued by the Ferrari Board of Directors. It seems that the Ferrari Board are misinformed. The FIA has offered the teams three options, one of which is the so-called standard engine, and another that the manufacturers should jointly guarantee to supply powertrains to the independent teams for less than €5 million per season."
How much?
Well, this raises all manner of questions.
Okay. €5 million?
That's what it says.
Okay.
So firstly, Ferrari falling out with the FIA. What's that about?
It's unusual. So FOTA, the new body that Ferrari are the head of, that seems to be working out quite well. That's making them stronger.
They say three options. The FIA say they've got three options they're offering.
Yep.
They only list two of them. So what is the third one?
So option one is
standard engines.
Option two is
supplying customer engines.
And option three is unknown.
Who knows what
that is? It's a secret option.
And then they offer those options as if they're independent from each other. Now, I thought that those two things were going to come in.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I don't understand how supplying engines to customers is on the same level of cost cutting and all that stuff as standard engines. I don't really follow.
Absolutely. And I'm sure Ferrari have... I mean, Ferrari already supply customer engines. So if that's an option, all they've got to do is reduce the price. But I thought it was at 10 million euros was what Max wanted. Suddenly it's dropped another 5 million?
Yeah,
that's... They'll be giving them away for free next.
That's another question. When did that happen? Just suddenly dropped.
It drops. Another 5 million goes off the price bracket. I'll tell you something. This credit crunch is really hurting those engine manufacturers.
Yeah.
Look at their prices fall.
And the final question is, who are the independent teams? Because Force India and Williams, they've both got engine deals.
Yes.
So what is all the fuss?
Well, Toro Rosso also. I mean, they're not really a customer team.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got a customer chassis and a customer engine from a different supplier. I don't... That makes no sense.
I don't know what the fuss is about when they seem to be quite happy.
Yes. I understand Ferrari's argument, although it's slightly weird that Ferrari are the single engine supplier for A1GP, and then they're banging on about competition and being in a competitive sport.
That's true.
Even though they are a monopoly supplier on an entire racing series.
I guess the point is they knew what they were doing when they went into that, though.
Right.
Whereas this would be a complete change in direction for Formula One.
It's interesting because I'm assuming that Ferrari don't think that if it went to a single engine supplier that they'd get that engine supply. They can't be confident about their engine supply, can they?
No, I guess not. If they did, though, that would be the ultimate Ferrari international assistance, wouldn't it?
They'd annex most of motorsport with their Ferrari engine, so hopefully that wouldn't happen. But it seems very peculiar. I liked that the Ferrari stood up against the FIA, and the FIA's response is nonsensical.
In the comments, Jenny said option 3 is a standard engine design only, so that's different from getting a standard engine.
Yes, but we don't think that can be policed. I mean, they say you can do that, but the chance that something foreign materials could end up in there, or that the FIA have no means of tracking the ultimate power output, I don't think that's going to work at all.
Qualifying.
In free practice, Alonso kept saving his all for the last minute and then jumping to the top of the timesheets in spectacular style, but it didn't seem to work out in qualifying quite so well.
He's made this a bit of a speciality.
Yeah.
For most of free practice 3, he never made it out of 18th. At one point, he was right at the bottom. He was plumb last and going nowhere. And then the last 5 or 10 minutes, jumped right the way up and ended up on top. And he did that twice.
Yeah.
And not for the first time this season. Grabbing himself some headlines on Friday.
We know he's got extra pace now for some reason.
Yes, although we don't know why. Due to the fact Martin Brundle was about to tell us and then got cut off. And I listened to the whole race coverage on Sunday and he still didn't tell us why.
He's still going on about that unfinished sentence.
Bugging me, really bugging me. So yeah, he does that. In qualifying, it didn't work out for him though. But he managed in qualifying 6th.
Yeah.
So for some reason, he didn't really have the outright pace. And I guess the two leading teams didn't go for a lap in that last free practice 3 on Friday. I don't really know if his lap was that great, actually, in qualifying. I'm not entirely sure if he really pulled it out of the bag when he needed to. It seemed okay, but it wasn't a superb lap.
In the first session of qualifying, Button ran out of fuel.
Mm. I don't really know what to say about this.
No.
You'd have thought in the high-tech world of Formula 1, where you have sensors on everything, you have weights on every part of the car, that shouldn't really be allowed to happen now. I'd like to know who they blamed for that, whether it was a guy who filled the fuel, whether there was a calculation error, whether it was a mechanical failure. It could have been that they dumped a load of fuel in it and the computer said it was fine, and it turned out not to be enough.
Maybe they thought they had enough to do an extra lap or something, but actually they just didn't quite have
just
enough.
Tried to push it, didn't work out. Button was out of it in the first section of qualifying anyway.
Yeah, it didn't make any difference. It was just a little bit embarrassing that he couldn't quite get up the hill. Williams were also out in the first session, both Williams cars, which is just terrible. Compared to how they were at the beginning of the season.
Well, absolutely. Nico on the podium.
What a fall from grace.
Yeah, what a way to end it. It looked so promising in Australia. I really thought they were going to come good. They had a great season. They were coming on the back of a great season last year. Looked like they were going to take a major step forward. Nothing really to show for it at the end of the season. There's going to be a lot of head scratching going on in Grove, I think, over the winter. Because unless they're going to pull something out of the bag in relation to the new aerodynamic stuff, which they are quite early, they're one of the first teams to run the new aero packages. Unless they make some headway on that front, I can't see them doing very well. Do you think they might be suffering from a lack of Wurz this year?
Well, they have Hülkenberg, don't they? And he's definitely not got the experience that Wurz has.
I wonder if Nico's not having to do the lion's share of the testing duties, and they might be suffering as a result. Mind you, Wurz is a Honda.
Yeah.
Not taken that many steps forward as yet.
Kubica's also gone backwards in the last couple of races. Since their win, they seem to have a complete downward spiral.
Yes. Well, the car's been falling off a cliff in terms of performance, hasn't it? They've not been developing the car. I assume they've not brought any new parts in the last couple of races.
Well, it's a bit weird because Heidfeld was really struggling in the middle of the season, but now he seems to have got it together,
right,
and is doing better and seems to be on an upward path.
Yes.
Whereas Kubica just keeps going down
and
down.
So do you think Kubica's sort of got a bit fed up after not managing to make it to the end of the championship?
It could be a motivation problem.
He was right. When they got their first win in Canada, he was the guy saying, we have to keep pushing development, we can win this world championship. And nobody listened. And maybe he's just had enough of it and think, well, stuff you. We could have had the chance, and now you've blown it, so I'm not going to try either.
Yeah.
And if Nick beats me, yeah, whatever.
We move on to next year.
Yeah.
Both Toro Rosso's got into the top 10, which is good for Bourdais, showing up on his last race.
Yep.
Doing pretty well.
Yep.
I mean, his last race for this season, before he knows whether he's got the drive again, which
yes,
he will have.
Right. You're adamant of that, though.
Yep.
You're
I'm stamping my foot.
Bourdais is in with the drive.
Yep.
It's been a great latter half of the year for those guys. Vettel especially, because he had such a poor start at the beginning of the season.
Mm.
Rarely ever finishing a lap, let alone a race. They've obviously pulled it together. Vettel was celebrating his win again with the stickers on his helmet.
Yep.
And they're just showing up the parent team time after time, race after race. They've got a better pace and they're making more out of that package than Red Bull are.
Massa's pole position was easy, wasn't it?
He made it look easy.
Yeah.
He was ahead by a considerable distance. He says he was on a wet setup.
Yeah.
But he was miles ahead of everybody else. He said he wasn't light. But there was a chasm of time between him and Hamilton. And we thought, we would imagine they were on reasonably similar strategies from looking at free practice. A reasonably similar pace from
yeah,
looking at free practice. It was a good lap. It was a great lap. In front of his home crowd, he was inspired. No doubt about it.
It did look like he wasn't going to be able to improve. But then he just pulled it out the bag in the last sector.
Yes. Yeah, it did. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll tell you what, he looked after his tyres on the eight lap. That was the difference. He was very, very gentle on his initial lap. And what it meant was he had tyres left at the end of the final sector. And that made all the difference. And he managed a purple and he put in a stellar time. And even his team were impressed with it. It was that good.
Yeah. Hamilton, he was second for a moment. But then Raikkonen pushed him down.
Yep.
And then Trulli,
out of nowhere,
Trulli slipped into second.
Yes.
What is that about?
Mr. Jarno Trulli, where did that lap come from? What a qualifying specialist.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was like a sign-off for 2008 saying, hey, don't forget me.
Just grabbing a headline. We're still here.
Hasn't been a great year, but my God, I'm good over one lap. Is that what
I
it
am
was?
Good.
Yeah. The only thing that I think we talked about earlier in the parade lap was there's a possibility that he was on a dry setup while the other guys were on a wet setup.
Yeah.
And that might have made the difference.
Kovalainen settled for fifth, just behind Hamilton. Which, you know, wasn't that useful, I suppose.
No. Well, what do you expect? Give the guy a fast car and he goes slower.
Yeah.
He did better in the blooming slow and clunky Renault at the end of last year than he has in the fast
aim.
McLaren.
He said his aim for this week was to win. No chance. Maybe he'll get better for next year. Who
really?
Knows?
I think they should give him a rubbish car and see what he can do with that.
And Alonso was in sixth, which was directly behind Hamilton.
Yes. Slightly controversial. We were expecting something to happen at the first corner as a result of that, because prior to this race, he was talking up the assistance of Ferrari.
He said he was on Massa's side.
Yes, and I believe in the comments somebody said Lucas Degrassi said earlier today that the entire of the Renault team were on Ferrari's side because nobody there likes McLaren.
Well, they all like Alonso, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, well, they all yeah. So they I'm sure they would have been just as happy for him to do that. You know, they've secured their place in the championship, and if he decided to write off the car in the last race,
didn't
of the
have
season,
anything to lose.
No, he had nothing to lose, and I'm sure the team wouldn't have been that bothered. So he had the backing of the team, but you know, it was a bit of a risk. But he said he wasn't going to do anything, and all we can do is believe him on that.
Well, we can tell you what did happen going into the first corner after this short break. If you miss any of the weekend's action from Free Practice 1 through to the checkered flag, tune into F1 Digest, dedicated daily coverage of all the on-track action, including the best bits from live commenting and all the reaction from teams and drivers. Visit sidepodcast.com to listen and subscribe.
The race.
We had a lot of predictions on the blog, and most of them had Massa for the win.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of confidence.
He's good when he's up front.
Yeah.
So you and a
Although,
home crowd.
Considering we were worried about rain, and I know he has been proving himself, but it was still a sort of unknown whether he'd be any good in the rain.
Yeah.
And obviously he proved that he was.
And he said he had a wet setup though.
That's true.
So it's not surprising that people decided to go for Felipe.
And a lot of people that had Massa for the win also had Raikkonen for second.
Yes.
So it was going to be a Ferrari 1-2.
Did anyone take a punt on anyone unexpected on the podium?
Well, RG had Massa, Glock and DC.
Whoa!
Which is...
That's optimistic.
Quite a prediction.
You must have been banking on rain with that prediction.
Steve in the UK had Trilli for the win.
Wow. Well, from second.
It could have happened.
Yeah.
Probably not, though.
It's unlikely.
That would have really been a proper Trilli
train. That's a brave move, Steve. Yeah.
He had Trilli, Massa and then Glock. Also, Scott had Hamilton, Heidfeld and Vettel. So, was thinking Hamilton would get the win.
Yes.
From fourth on the grid. And Heidfeld up there in second.
Well,
that would have been quite an exciting race, I think.
Yes.
You predicted Kovalainen for the win, you weirdo.
Well, that was unwarranted. There was no justification in that. He didn't deserve that kind of accolade. And he didn't deliver. What did you predict?
I didn't, actually.
Oh, you escaped again.
Well, I did in the parade lap, but I can't remember what it was. I think I had Massa
for
the win.
Okay. That's pretty good prediction.
Most of them actually had Massa, Raikkonen and Alonso in some order.
Right.
So we got at least the right people.
Yes.
Not necessarily in the right order.
So, beginning of the race.
Yeah.
A little bit chaotic.
Well, it was delayed.
There was something of a downpour. Unexpected. Took everybody by surprise.
I'm amazed that they didn't know it was happening. I'm amazed it caught them on the hop. I mean, these people have accurate, you know, up-to-the-minute radar pictures, weather data. They know what's happening. I mean, they don't always get it right, but they should have known there was at least some rain around, and it just started pouring. No one was expecting it.
Britain is quite notorious for unpredictable weather.
Yeah.
But even that took us by surprise, didn't it? Just out of nowhere. Absolutely. And the safety car went round, and he was on his way back in.
Yeah.
He had to push his way past all the people again, because he'd already done his lap.
Yeah.
Crazy. What that meant was the delayed start meant 15 minutes. Was it 15 minute delay in the end? 10 minute delay.
I think it was 10 minutes.
10 minutes delay to the start of the race, and none of the teams could decide which tyres to go on. In the end, because it wasn't super wet and the track looked like it was starting to dry, most of the teams went with wets. Except now I'm looking at Ollie's pit stop and tyre strategies for this race. That's Ollie from Blog F1 who's kindly put these together for us. Looking down the list, Kubica went with the hard tyres. He was the only guy who did, and he came in straight away after the warm-up lap.
Yes, he pitted straight away, didn't he? Because he'd made the wrong decision.
Yeah, he went straight for the wet. So everybody else started on the wet tyres. And I guess he decided to take a gamble. The gamble just wasn't going to pay off. So in he came.
The rain did stop before the start. So even though they were on inters, it wasn't actually raining, but we saw lots of rooster tails.
Yeah.
And it was quite hectic going into the first corner.
We expected it to be utter chaos.
I thought it was going to be worse than it was.
Mm. Only one person spun.
Yeah, there were two people in incidents at the first corner. That was Coulthard.
Yeah.
It's a rubbish end to his career.
The man with the helmet cam, which we were hoping to see some excellent
what
shots
a waste.
Of. Saw some good pictures in free practice, some great pictures in qualifying. The first lap should have been excellent. And what did we see of it? A corner.
Him getting out of the car.
He got punted by Nico, and then he managed to collect Kazuki, but Kazuki kept going.
Yeah.
However, that was the end of David Coulthard's last race. And I think that summed up his career rather nicely.
Really?
One corner,
aww,
and then it was over. Don't you think?
Bless
That's
him.
Pretty much been his season this year. Okay, maybe not his career, but certainly this season. One corner, and then it's all over.
Yeah. And also Piquet, and I'm not sure what actually happened to Piquet, but he ended up off the track.
I'd forgotten about him. That's right. I don't know. We never saw a proper replay of it.
They were the only two retirees of the whole race, which is pretty good going.
And they were out right at the beginning. It reminded me a little bit of Heike last year in the same Renault, and he lost it early on in the race, and he ended up just sitting on the wall for the remainder with no real desire to go back. And I got the same impression from Piquet. He was in no hurry to go back to that garage. So after the race settled down, once we got past the initial excitement of the wet weather, track started to dry out. It was quite warm, a little bit humid. A dry line appeared rather quickly, and drivers were soon looking to keep their tyres cool and wet.
It did take a long time for the actual, all of the track to dry up. I mean, I know a dry line appears very quickly, but I thought it would be a lot quicker than that because it was quite hot.
Yes.
So any drivers going off of the racing line were still struggling when they put the... dry tyres on.
Absolutely. It was it kind of messed up our knowledge of who was on what strategy, because we don't really know if Trulli was light, because Trulli came in when it was the right time to change his tyres, so we'll never quite know what strategy he was on. We're not entirely sure if Lewis was heavy either, so it's very hard to work out who did a great qualifying lap and who was lucky and who was light. So we kind of lost that in amongst all the tyre changes. But Alonso made up a bit of ground because he lost at the first corner. He did well out of those tyre changes. And for some reason, I don't know what happened to Heidfeld, but Heidfeld started fighting back through the field after having a very poor start, because originally he was in the top 10. And then suddenly he was battling for 12th and 13th. So after everybody came out on dry tyres,
yep,
and the race settled into a really nice rhythm,
yep,
Lewis found himself in the position he needed to be in, rather untroubled, but not particularly quick.
He was in fifth,
yep,
which is what he needed for the championship, whether Massa won, whatever, it didn't matter. But Brundle did say that it wasn't exactly safe.
No.
He wasn't going super fast. It didn't look like he was catching anyone.
It was a little bit risky.
It wasn't the best place to be.
But it looked to be dry. The race was almost done and dusted. Massa was sailing off in the distance, doing what he had to do, light years ahead of everybody else. Only Vettel was close, and Vettel was very light, and he soon pitted on a very peculiar strategy.
Yeah, what was going on there? He seemed to be completely different to everyone else.
They didn't put
no kind of strategy
in
at all. And I mean, by the end, he'd pitted like four or five times.
Yes. Yeah. I don't quite know what happened on
their
strategy. Not
sure what they were playing at.
No, but it seemed to work for a little bit because they were right up close with Vettel was quite right up close with Massa, and with Alonso chasing, and Alonso was doing reasonably well. And suddenly, Alonso's getting the better of Kimi, and that Renault is fighting the Ferrari.
Yeah,
that's an awful lot of pace to find.
Sounds familiar.
Very impressive. So that's very impressive. You know, he was up there genuinely racing on pace, and Hamilton was just about getting away with it. And he was just doing what he needed to do, a nice, safe, controlled race where he needed to be, out of harm's way.
Another driver up near the top was Fisichella. I'm not even sure how he managed to get up into the top 10 at all.
That was a great call by Mike Gascoigne. He rolled the dice early. He made Fisichella come in for dries before everybody else. He and Fisichella were setting the benchmark time that everybody else was watching.
Yeah.
And that gained him the places and put him ahead of Lewis Hamilton.
Well, at one point, I mean, we've said now that Hamilton was running in fifth, but at one point he was behind Fisichella.
Yes, he was.
And had to get past him.
Yep.
But Fisichella was holding him up for a good couple of laps.
Yeah, Hamilton didn't seem to have any straight line pace, but he did work it out. It took, I think, three laps before he worked out a way to get past him. But once he sussed it out, he followed him up the hill closely and just nailed him into turn one.
Along the home straight.
Yeah.
And it was an amazing overtaking manoeuvre.
Yes.
He knew exactly what he was doing, and he just had the confidence to go straight through, even though he was not necessarily on the driest bit of track.
No, he was on dry tyres. It wasn't what you call keeping out of trouble.
No.
Which is what he said.
He may have been slightly unnecessary, but
however,
we won't really know.
It did work out right for him in the end.
Yeah.
And it was a great overtaking manoeuvre.
Absolutely. During one of the rounds of pit stops, I'm not actually sure because people were pitting all over the place, to be honest.
Yeah.
But Honda appeared to have a fire extinguisher explosion. There wasn't a car in the pit lane at the time.
Yes. Visually fascinating is how I describe it, because I don't think I've ever seen a pit lane look quite like that without a car in it.
I'm assuming that it was an accident, as in they hadn't set it off for a fire.
Yeah, no, I don't think they had. But what was peculiar, both fire extinguishers were going off. There was two guys, both with their hands trying to cover
complete malfunction.
Yeah.
And then afterwards we were looking at some other car going down the pit lane, and you just saw the Honda guys with their brooms. Yeah. Quick, get rid of this foam.
They did make a bit of a mess of it, but no harm came of it.
Nothing. And at least we knew they were working.
Yes, absolutely.
I actually can't think that there was much else. The middle of the race was quite quiet, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The beginning was fascinating. The end was brilliant.
What happened?
The middle was a little
bit. Race changed when the radio call came in. And was it for Williams or was it for BMW that came first? There was a couple of radio messages. Might have even been Renault.
I actually thought it was a Renault.
Yeah, Renault said rain in 15 minutes. BMW said rain in 10 minutes.
We were like, what?
Ted Kravitz in the pit said it's raining now. That threw a spanner in the works. It was like Spa all over again.
Yeah, because they said it was with 15 laps to go. I remember because they said 15 laps, 15 minutes. I was like, that's going to
be
before
close.
The end.
Yes.
So Hamilton was still, he was still in fifth, was he? He was doing okay.
No, he was.
Then.
Before he came in for tyres. He was in the right place.
Yeah.
All was good. Came in for tyres. A little bit late, maybe a lap later than he should have done. That knocked him back behind Glock, who stayed out on dries.
Right.
Right at the very last corner of the very last lap, there was an incredibly slow moving Glock with no pace.
Because he was on the wrong tyres.
He was on the wrong tyre and no grip. And Lewis just managed to sail past him, pull himself up the hill.
And they say it was about 5 seconds that he crossed the line before Glock.
That was an awesome race to watch.
All the way through this season, we've been saying, oh, I hope it goes down to the last race.
Yeah.
And then it gets to the last race. We're like, well, as long as it doesn't go out in the first corner, you know, as long as it goes down to the wire.
Yes.
Did you really mean the last corner of the last race of the whole year?
We have been spoilt rotten.
It's been amazing
this year.
And at the end of the race, they were both crying, both Hamilton and Massa.
Yeah. Massa Well, Ferrari guys in the garage weren't washing Glock.
No, they thought they had it.
Credit to Martin Brundle. He got that early. He called that immediately.
I mean, I wasn't watching Glock
either. No, not at all. He was on the ball. That's why he gets paid, and that's why he's good at what he does, because he spotted that.
Yeah.
The McLaren guys had spotted that, and the Ferrari guys hadn't. We don't know whether Massa had
both
been told.
Both garages were cheering and jumping.
Yes.
And actually, it was McLaren.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Massa was a really good loser,
yes.
I think. Because, yeah, he was upset. But in the press conference, he was composed.
Yep.
And, you know, he said all the right things.
He was gracious in defeat.
Yeah. And I actually was really quite impressed.
Yes, he did.
I thought he would be mad.
The thing is, and I don't know if anyone will remember this in times to come, that was a great race by him.
Yeah.
The man was under so much pressure. I know he said there's no pressure for me. All the pressure's on Lewis Hamilton.
Especially in the last few laps with the wet.
Yeah. That man was under so much pressure in front of his home crowd in a Ferrari for the win and for the world championship. He just drove a great race. Did he put a foot wrong? Did you see Felipe Massa do anything wrong?
Nope.
Even
the pit stops worked.
Everything he did was absolutely perfect. And I doubt anybody will remember it, because all you'll talk about in the future is Vettel and Glock and Hamilton. But Massa deserves all the credit in the world for driving an absolutely peerless race when it mattered the most, in the most high pressure situation. He really pulled it out of the bag. Sadly, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough by one corner.
1.5 seconds.
Yeah. And that's he did all he could. And whether or not anybody will remember him for that, I don't know. But at least
we will.
Yeah, he's proved his critics wrong. He's proved us wrong.
Yeah.
I think he's proved everybody in the Formula One paddock wrong. Whether or not next year we'll pay him any dividends for that, I don't know. Maybe he'll have a better start to the season.
I was saying to you, just after it finished, I don't know what to think now, because we've all been going, oh, I can't wait till next year when Raikkonen's back on it.
Yeah.
Actually, I quite want Massa to do well.
Ferrari must have the best lineup for next year already, mustn't they?
Yeah.
That Constructors' Championship is already theirs with that lineup. You've got two drivers. If Kimi does enough testing in winter, comes back on form, that's a stellar lineup.
Two strong drivers in a strong car.
McLaren? You've got to fear for Kobe next year. I mean, Hamilton now, the World Drivers' Champion. He is the number one driver in the number one car.
And next year's going to be do or die for Kovalainen, really.
Yeah, and Kovalainen is definitely the number two guy. He's going to have a number two on his car, and that's what he is, and that's his place. Whether or not he knows his place and whether or not he's going to do anything about it, I don't know. But Lewis Hamilton, the new World Drivers' Champion, 2008. We have a new one.
To be honest, I think that he deserves it for that move on Fisichella alone.
Yes.
No one else would do that.
No, they wouldn't. They'd play the safe game and say it's not quite necessary, and that would have cost them in the end.
Ferrari have got the Constructors' Championship. They had that sewn up with both drivers on the podium.
Yes.
I'm not sure that I've seen a championship with different, with the drivers from a different team to the constructor.
Because when you were watching Renault, it
was all Renault.
And again, all Renault.
Yeah.
Last year was all Ferrari. Before Renault, it was all Ferrari. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've seen one.
It has been an unusual season.
Yeah.
It
has happened before.
Yeah.
But I thought it was quite unusual.
Yes.
To have happened like that. Because usually, I guess, you find the one who wins all the time.
Yeah.
They get the
guy with the most reliable car usually gets a point. But it's been a closely fought battle this year. And it's reflected in the points and in the final finishing positions.
When all the cars were lined up at the end of the race, I thought it was quite interesting to see them, because you don't usually see them all lined up like that.
Before they go into park for me, before they go and get weighed and all the checks go on.
You don't usually get to see that, but we had to see that because obviously Hamilton was back there.
Yes.
And not on the podium.
No, unfortunate that.
It wasn't the best way to end. Like, you want to be celebrating on the podium with the champagne, and like Raikkonen was with the glitter.
None of the drivers on the podium appear to want to be there very much.
They weren't that happy.
Kimi clearly didn't want to be up there.
He wasn't bothered. Alonso was probably not that
he's
pleased.
Lost his youngest world champion
and he's not
title.
Best friends with Hamilton anyway.
No, so he wasn't pleased. Massa was clearly upset. So the podium wasn't a particularly nice thing to watch. And
the press conference was just uncomfortable.
Oh, that wasn't pretty. And whilst all that was going on, in the parked cars, the line of parked cars, Jenson Button's Honda decided to self-implode.
It was on fire, which is
severely
really, really ironic, because their fire extinguishers all exploded earlier.
They had nothing to put it out with.
How funny is that?
Yes, they went off a bit too early, clearly.
I think they just wanted a nice sparkling way to end.
Is that
season.
What it was? Yeah. I think Jenson Button had enough and just set light to the damn thing.
Really?
So that's it. I'm sick to death.
I expect
the
they all
car.
Did, to be honest.
They just torched it. Yeah. I mean, what in qualifying the guy doesn't get up the hill, and then at the end of the race his car catches fire. It was very reminiscent of Fisichella in 2003. That's about all I can say.
Was he about to win the race?
He won the race with the car on fire in the pit lane.
No, was Button about to win the race?
No.
Oh, probably not the same.
Not quite the same league, is it?
Fantasy Racers.
In fifth place, Rhino Formula 1 with 8323. Fourth is Canuck F1 with 8396. Third is DP Racer 8436. Second, Late Apex 8468. And in first place, Jordan F1 with 8573. That's the official top five for the whole of the year.
Jordan did it.
Mm.
Jordan is...
He broke 8,500 points as
the
well.
The Side Podcast Fantasy Racers Champion of 2008.
Yep.
Mr. Jordan Allen.
Yes.
Frequent commenter and frequent critique and of your racing strategy.
Yes.
But I think you might have to take it from him.
He's been at the top forever.
He has. He's played all the right moves. Do you know how many points ahead he was? What was that? Can you work that out off the top of your head?
Over 100.
Over 100 points ahead at the end of the year. That's an awesome season for Mr. Jordan Allen. I shall be taking tips off him for next year.
Yeah, well, Side Podcast Racers finished the year in 109th. Oh, dear. Longitudinal Inertia finished the year in 79th.
Right. I had it. Wow, that's quite good, actually.
It was better than you've been for a while, I think.
So what did I get at the end of the day? I don't know how many points I had. It seemed like a reasonable team I had. I did finish in front of Lou, but Stephen Roy finished two places in front of me, which is slightly disappointing because I was secretly racing him. I think what we're going to have to do is a proper Fantasy Racers podcast following this, just to see where everybody ended up, because there's so many cool stats of who beat who and who was ahead of who and how close it got, because right at the end, obviously Felipe Lita jumped into the fifth place,
yeah,
which is really good. Very impressed with him. That's exactly what he said he was going to do a couple of weeks ago.
And he did.
So big up him.
We won the league, by the way.
We did!
We were the best private league.
Really?
Well, we weren't. And those top five, they helped us out.
Right, yes.
And so we won by 90 points. Side Podcast beat Autosport.
Wow. That's the first and the last time you'll ever be able to say that.
Yep.
We beat Team Autosport. That's amazing. Thank you, everybody who took part in order to help us achieve that. What an awesome number of entrants and an awesome result. And I believe Dank's going to get sent a trophy, and he's going to forward that to Jordan. So that should be really
cool. Which is well deserved.
We appreciate that, Dank. Thank you very much. And thank you for setting up the competition, because it's provided hours and hours and hours of fun this year. Love it to pieces.
I haven't had time to do my stats because the race finished about 5 minutes ago, I think.
Right.
So what I did was ask the people in the live comments,
yes,
for if they wanted a shout out,
okay,
for their team.
And what have you got?
We had a couple. GB7F1, that's Dom's team, he got 604 points this week, which is quite a lot. I think Stephen Roy said the most this week was 694. So that's quite up there.
That is, yep.
And he is 27th in the league. Now, I think he's been trying to break into the top 30 for a while.
Yeah.
So getting to 27th, he's done it.
What an achievement. Hats off.
We've also got As Good As Massa in Oz. That's John's team. He had 564 points and finishes 73rd.
Okay.
So that beats you. Ha ha.
Thanks.
Nedge's Urban Sports F1, that's Scott Woodwiss's team. He had 464 points and finished behind me.
Hey.
We were having quite a battle.
Really?
Yeah. And RG, that's Team Falcon of Galti, he said he's been 148th for about 5 or 6 weeks.
Nice one.
And doesn't move. It's been a bit of a quiet week for feedback. Everyone's been anticipating the last race of the season, obviously.
Yes.
But I did have one message on Facebook from Arthur, who's got a great question that actually I'm not sure we know the answer to. But I will read it.
Go ahead.
Hello, Christine. First off, your show is my favourite F1 podcast, and I think it's great, so please keep up the good programme. Aww. Maybe this is something you can answer in the show. With parts of the car that need to be reused to avoid a penalty, how does the FIA make sure or keep track of the team's engines, gearbox, etc. to know that? For instance, Hamilton is using the race engine from the previous race in China. That's obviously who was in Brazil.
Yep.
It seems like the engines can be switched during shipment to a racetrack or even in the garage behind closed doors. I've always wondered how they kept tabs on this type of thing. Thanks in advance, Arthur.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
I could take a guess. I think after each race, the FIA puts seals into the engines before they get shipped, and then they can check whether the seals have been opened. That's something they do with each
engine. They take them out?
They seal up the bits that you can fiddle with.
Oh, like letters? You know, where you put your big red
just like
blobber
that.
Wax.
Exactly,
and
exactly like that. That's what they do. It's not sure quite how they do it, but there's an FIA seal that goes on every engine they get shipped, and they make sure they can't open that up.
Huh.
Before each race, the stewards put out a list of things that get changed, and what they do is when a team requests for parts to be changed, they watch them change it. And then they make a note.
To make sure that it's all done properly.
And that gets sent out before the race starts, or maybe just after the race.
There's a PDF, isn't there?
Yeah, on the FIA website. That's as much as I know. If anything else goes on behind the scenes, I'm not aware of it. So if anyone in the live comments can help us, or if anybody listening to this podcast can let us know before next week, then I'm sure we can update Arthur on what goes on behind the scenes there. Or if you're on Facebook, just find Arthur's message. Is it in the group? In the side podcast group, or is it a personal
message? It was a personal message, but we can put it in the group.
We can create a group on Facebook and you can update him on there.
So that's it. It's over.
Yes.
All good things must come to an end.
It was fun.
The season has been amazing.
It was great, wasn't it?
Yep.
We're not going anywhere. We're still going to be here.
So podcasts never end.
More podcasts through the off season. Lots and lots of Formula One updates, news, interactivity, and all the business.
Absolutely.
I think we should be very privileged to be fans of Formula One this weekend.
Yeah.
Because the sport delivered.
For about six times during those last few laps, we were like, this is why we watch.
Yeah. This is sporting action.
This is why we put up with all that FIA madness.
Nonsense.
Because of this.
Yeah. This is sporting at its absolute finest.
Yeah.
We crowned a brand new world champion this weekend after a spectacular and exhilarating race.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't swap it. The world.
I've got something a bit special to play instead of our usual outro theme. I don't know if you remember a while back, we had an email from some Lewis Hamilton fans who'd written a song.
Right.
It was actually a YouTube video, but I thought it would be really good to bring back that song and celebrate Lewis Hamilton's championship win.
He speeds away back on the track. If it's dry or when it's wet, he doesn't mind. He doesn't fear, and no one can stop him here. Lewis Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton, there's no stopping him. Lewis Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton, there's no stopping him. Try to beat him and all you get is a few of McLaren's back. He's a hero in the eyes of young and blood and black and white. Lewis Hamilton, Lewis Hamilton, there's no stopping him. Lewis Hamilton, Lewis.